T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Our fantasy football guru, Dave Richard, from CBSSports.com. Dave, how are you, man? What's going on?
It's been a Tua Tagovailoa kind of day here. The crazy news breaking right around lunchtime that the Dolphins were going to make him their starter the rest of the way. And we've been pretty much on the go since then, talking about the Dolphins' passing game, looking into what Tua could do for them.
Yeah.
And then also, by the way, waivers this week. And, you know, coming off of a mostly normal week in the NFL, as it turns out, a lot of interesting names on a lot of waiver wires, so people should be able to upgrade their rosters at least a little bit. Listen, Dave,
You guys think that's breaking news. Here's breaking news.
You want
to Your
game.
Boy D-Fox got his first win of the season this weekend.
Hey. In fact,
your boy had the highest score of anybody this weekend.
Nice.
How about that?
Congratulations. All right, so maybe you turn it around. See, this is the nice thing about fantasy is that it ain't over till it's over.
Yeah.
And so if you're 1-5 now, if you run the table, you're absolutely going to make the playoffs in your league. And even if you lose one more time, you got a pretty good shot at still making it.
Yeah.
Well,
the good news is our
league, everyone makes the playoffs. We changed that rule.
Oh, that's right. So I remember that.
Yep.
That it's really the worst rule I've ever heard in fantasy sports.
No, it's actually great because I still have a chance for a second life.
That's true. By the way, two things, Dave. First of all, in my keeper league, like, my team stinks. I won the champ. I sold all out for the championship. I won the title last year. I came in with not a great team. I had some injuries, so I sold off players, and I'm just already playing for next year. So my team is, like, a disaster, and I was 0-5, and I was playing the best team in the league this week, and I won. I was, like, on the seat. You know how CBS gives you, like, point spreads for the matchups?
Right, sure.
I was a 50-point underdog.
Don't you love that?
50 points, and I won because I got huge games from both my quarterbacks. I have Lamar. Lamar is my only good. Well, Lamar and A.J. Brown are my only two good players, really. But Phillip Rivers, who's my second quarterback, had a huge game, and so did Fulgham again. But anyway, but how about this? There's a guy in one of my leagues who 30 minutes before the news of Tua cut Tua. 30 minutes
oh,
before.
Oh, man. That's the worst when that happens.
The worst.
But, I mean, what are you going to do? It's not like if he had known,
obviously
he would have held on to Tua. Is this one of those two QB leagues or a dynasty league, Bull?
It's a two QB league, and he cut him because he had a guy come off the IR this morning, and so he had to create the roster spot.
Yeah. I mean, unless you've got a specific rule for that, fantasy managers should know that if someone's coming off the IR – make that move to get him off the IR as late as possible. It's what a lot of NFL teams do.
Right.
And
right.
If he had done that, he would have known that Tua would have been the starter the rest of the way. He would have never cut Tua.
I know. I mean, what a disaster. I'm looking at his bench, and especially because his second quarterback is Baker Mayfield, who's been terrible.
Yeah,
so,
hasn't
you
been
know,
great.
Tua could have certainly been a starter. I mean, he kept the Dolphins' defense. He just cut the Dolphins' defense. I don't know.
During their bye week, is this a two DST league as well?
No. One DST. The Dolphins are on a bye week. I mean, he's got the
49ers. Right, so why would he keep them and dump two in a two QB
I have
league?
He kept him.
It sounds like I want to play in a league with this guy for
and
the rest
what's funny
of my
is,
life.
What's funny is this guy is actually usually he's one of the better fantasy players I know. He's really good. This was a huge blunder. He kept the Dolphins' D, DeSean Jackson, Zach Moss, A.J. Dillon, and Malcolm Brown. All those guys could have been cut.
I don't mind both of those guys, but he could have cut Dillon as much as I like the talent.
Yeah.
In a two QB league, man, I'm dealing with this right now in one of my two QB leagues. I've got Lamar Jackson, who's on a bye, and my only other quarterback is Daniel Jones. And normally I'm prepared, and I've got three or four quarterbacks, and I'm good to go. But I remember I drafted really well, and it's because I passed on a lot of quarterbacks along the way in this draft. And now I'm, like, begging people for their quarterbacks this week. I might have to start Case Keenum picking him up off the waiver wire, and he might play exactly as many snaps as I'll play for the Browns this weekend.
That's true. All right, but let's get back to Tua, where you started here. Obviously, he's playing he's playing after the bye. What are the expectations for him and the other skill position players around him going forward?
So everybody watched him play when he was at Alabama, and I think it's obvious that he's got a great arm. He's got good accuracy. He's mobile. These are all things that, you know, the modern-day quarterback has to have. If there's a nitpick that I have on Tagovailoa, it's that I'm not sure how well he read defenses. At Alabama, I think he had a lot of defined reads on a lot of his throws. And occasionally, and this is going to sound like a nitpick, but it's not, occasionally he would lock onto Jerry Jeudy and throw at Jerry Jeudy whether he was covered or not. But it's Jerry Jeudy in college. He was the damn Biletnikoff Award winner as a sophomore. So if he translates much of that to the NFL, I think he'll end up being fine. I think he'll be a little bit of a gunslinger, kind of like Ryan Fitzpatrick was. If he locks onto a receiver, it's either going to be Devontae Parker or Preston Williams, and Parker with the groin injury, we'll see where he is a week from now. Since they're on bye, they can give him a little extra time to rest. I think it's going to be okay for their offense. I think they're going to be a little more fun to watch because he's a different, obviously a more mobile type of quarterback than even Ryan Fitzpatrick, who would run around a little bit. But he's also a lefty, so he's going to make defenses think a little bit more because he's going to probably focus on going to his left a little bit more than his right. You know, there's a different spin on the ball when a left-handed quarterback throws it as well. I think he'll be good. I think if there's one guy that I'm worried about, it's going to be Myles Gaskin continuing to catch a lot of passes. We didn't see Tagovailoa get a lot of receptions to his running backs in college. Remember when Josh Jacobs came out, one of the complaints was, well, he didn't really get a lot of work out of the passing game. And that's just because, A, the offense that they ran at Alabama didn't call for it, and B, Tua looks downfield. And that's really what you want out of a quarterback when you're taking, you don't want to check down Charlie when you're taking him at fifth overall. So I think it'll be, ultimately, I think it'll be fine for the Dolphins. The coaching staff, you know, I had speculated that maybe there's a trade coming or Fitzpatrick's hurt. No. They probably planned it this way to switch to Tagovailoa during the bye. And my guess is that if he was absolutely terrible in practice, they wouldn't do it. So he must be doing fine in practice, and he'll probably turn some heads when he takes the field in a couple of weeks against the Rams. It's not the easiest matchup, but what do you want to do? You want to wait till he plays the Jets again? That'll be a while. So I applaud the Dolphins for doing it. As far as fantasy goes, Tagovailoa shouldn't be added unless you want to speculate on him in a one-quarterback league, and he's probably already on a roster in a two-quarterback league. Oh, except for yours, Bull. He's not going to be on a roster there.
No. Well, this guy is asking, should he cut Nick Foles for him?
Sure. So, like, that's the perfect example. What are you going to do with Nick Foles? He's not great. You're never going to feel confident starting him. You might as well take the chance on Tagovailoa and hope that he's the next Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert, one of these rookies that ends up playing way better than anybody expected.
Let me ask you, Dave, about a couple injuries we've had over the weekend. Mostert and Miles Sanders. How do those factor in?
We're not going to get Miles Sanders on Thursday against the Giants. That's one of two pretty significant injuries for Philadelphia's offense as far as their skill position players go. It's going to be Boston Scott primarily replacing him, but let's not forget how Doug Peterson operated before Miles Sanders was established as their main running back. He liked to use a bunch of different guys. And you saw it back in week one. Remember, Miles Sanders didn't start the season playing for Philadelphia. He missed week one. In that week one game, Boston Scott played a little less than 60% of snaps. He had less than 60% of all the running back touches. I think he had 11 touches in the game. I don't love him, but there's going to be a mad rush to pick him up off the waiver wire tonight. He's probably going to be the first or the second player taken off the waiver wire. I wouldn't spend a lot of fab to get him, but I don't mind making him your top waiver claim if you need a running back this week. Justin Jackson, a running back with the Chargers, I like him a lot better. And he's still out there in about 40% of CBS Sports leagues. Now, in San Francisco, we know no Mostert is no bueno. They're going to go with Jerick McKinnon, Jamichael Hasty. And if he's healthy, Jeff Wilson. And if Tevin Coleman is healthy, he'll come back in. It's going to be a mess. They're going to use multiple running backs. It's against the Patriots. The Patriots' run defense is typically very good. I wouldn't feel good starting any 49ers running back this week. If there was one that I would be okay with, it would be McKinnon. And I don't buy into Jamichael Hasty being a big-time sleeper off the waiver wire.
Dave, let's talk about a couple of interesting running back situations. First of all, Detroit, DeAndre Swift had a big game this week. He really looks to be breaking out, but they're still giving a decent amount of carries to the over-the-hill Adrian Peterson. Do we expect that to change? And the Rams, they hyped up Cam Akers coming into this week. He barely played. What's going on there?
So eventually Akers will be the guy for L.A., especially if Daryl Henderson can't get his act together and be explosive more often than he already is. Now, on the flip side, with Detroit, Swift looked amazing.
Yep.
Just good power running. There were some clever formations and plays. He was patient. He's a good juker. He's got some power, even though he doesn't look like that he's a physical running back. But he doesn't have breakaway speed. I know he had a long run, but he did get caught from behind on the run. And remember this above all, Bull. He did it against Jacksonville. And now here's the worst part about it. He played 38% of the snaps. That's the exact same percentage of snaps he played in week four before the bye against the Saints, and he didn't have nearly as many touches. So while I'm hopeful that DeAndre Swift will eventually be the main running back in Detroit, I also know that Matt Patricia, good old pencil beard himself, likes to use multiple running backs week in and week out. And this past week, even Kerryon Johnson had 22% of the snaps. He was mixing in along with AP and Swift. So it's going to be a mess. He'll never be a dominant running back like Kareem Hunt's been the last couple of weeks under this current coaching staff. But you got to like the talent. Eventually, you got to hope that the versatility makes sense for them to lean on him a little bit more. Maybe he pops up to maybe 45% of the snaps, and it depends on game flow against Atlanta. Could be a high-scoring game this week. Maybe they need to play from behind, and if that's the case, they need running backs who can catch the ball. That's not Adrian Peterson, and that's kind of Kerryon Johnson, but it's very much DeAndre Swift. You could probably get away with using him as a number two running back in week seven.
Dave, if you had to rank the wide receivers from Pittsburgh in order of their fantasy value, how would you do it?
That's a great question, and it's a tough
Thank
question
you.
Because you know that Juju Smith-Schuster is still going to be among the most popular guys, and Claypool's been awesome the last 2 weeks, but is it going to last? What's going to happen when defenses start to cover him a little bit more? I mean, I almost want to throw you back this question, Dustin. If you were playing Pittsburgh this week, and you know that the last 2 weeks Chase Claypool's gone off for 5 touchdowns, wouldn't you give him a little bit more attention than maybe the other defenses that played him gave him?
I probably would, yeah. But if the problem is, how much attention do you give him? Because his other guys can make plays too.
And maybe that just leads to playing a lot more zone coverage so you don't get beat deep and you just keep everybody in front of you. But my philosophy is this. The Steelers want to use as many guys as they can, and they're not really attacking downfield as much as they did in the past. So if that's the case, then Roethlisberger is simply going to throw it to who's ever open in that inside of 15-yard range. And once defenses start to key in on Claypool, which you yourself just said – would make a lot of sense, that's when I think Juju can start to break out and start to play like he's expected. But no one in this offense is going to get double-digit targets on the regular. So if I had to rank them for the rest of the season, and maybe this isn't popular, but I'm going to say it anyway, Juju's going to be number one. I'll put Claypool second, and I'll put Diontae Johnson third. But I still like the talent for Diontae Johnson. And all these guys belong on fantasy rosters. If you're in a league and people are punting on Juju because he hasn't done anything, take advantage. Trade for him on the cheap. I think his value does have a chance to stabilize in that number two receiver range. He's probably not going to get to that number one range where you drafted him, though. So if you can get him on the cheap, I think he's going to help your team as a number two or a number three receiver. No one's going to trade you Claypool cheap. And I don't know if anybody's going to trade you Diontae Johnson cheap either, just because Johnson does have a lot of upside.
We talked about Travis Fulgham last week, Dave. He had another good week this week, although he did it most late. I don't think he had many points at halftime. With Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson, two older, injury-prone wide receivers, but they've got some track record in the league. Well, a lot of track record, not as much lately.
Sure.
What happens to Fulgham when those guys come back?
I think he'll lose some target share. I mean, he's had double-digit targets each of the last 2 weeks. And my guess is that that'll drop down, but it might drop down to 7 or 8 targets per game. Wentz likes him. It's as simple as that. You can tell because he keeps throwing at him, and Fulgham keeps making plays, even if it's garbage time. I like it, and I think that Fulgham is going to register, especially in PPR, as a number two type of fantasy receiver this week. I wouldn't get too attached to him. I wouldn't trade big pieces to get Fulgham on my team, but I know that he's available in 44% of CBS Sports leagues, something like that, a little less than half the leagues. He would be a huge waiver priority if I didn't need a running back this week, because I do think he's got staying power in this offense. He's a perimeter outside receiver for Philadelphia. It's the role that Alshon Jeffery used to have, and we don't know exactly when Alshon's going to be back, and I'm not sure if Alshon will be any good when he does come back. Fulgham's got a spot in this offense for sure.
Yeah, Dustin asked you the Steeler wide receiver depth chart. I'll say the same thing with Cincinnati. A.J. Green had his best game of the year. Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins. How are you ranking those guys the rest of this season only?
I think for the rest of this season it's going to be Higgins first. I think he's really deserved it. He's been playing well the last 4 weeks. Boyd's going to be second, and even though Green had a good game in week six, he's going to be third, but I'm more interested in having him on my fantasy roster now than I was at this time last week. And the one thing that I noticed with Green when I watched the game is that he can still run those slant routes, those in-breaking routes really well. He gets open. Burrow's got accuracy. Those guys can connect. But when he's running deeper routes, I don't know if he's got the same type of speed that he used to have. And that's really a sad thing to say, because A.J. Green was such a dominant receiver. But maybe those injuries combined with his age kind of robbed him of that. Defenders are right on his tail when he's streaking downfield now. So I don't think he's going to be able to break away for long catches. He's going to need volume. There will be games coming up where he's just not going to get the same type of target share that he had this past week.
Dave, prospecting for next year, I'm curious your take. You know, we've seen the breakout of the great athletic quarterback, whether it's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray in the last couple of years. What are the chances Taysom Hill can do something like that and be the starter for New Orleans next season?
Well, I don't think it's going to be great. I don't think it's a great chance. I mean, how many times have you actually seen him throw this year?
Not many.
Or last year? He doesn't attempt a lot of passes. Right. He sure takes a lot of snaps away from Drew Brees, though. And also remember, he's old. He's over 30 years of age. So I don't think that Taysom Hill is going to end up being the next great quarterback for the Saints. And furthermore, remember, they've got Jameis Winston on their roster. I don't know how he's doing in practice, but I do know that he had LASIK surgery, and maybe that's helping with him reading defenses, and maybe it helps with his accuracy too. No one's going to know the answer to that question outside of New Orleans until he actually plays in a game. And if he does end up sticking around in New Orleans, I think that would tell you that they like him long-term, and maybe he'll be their next quarterback, not Taysom Hill.
Dave, last thing, did I make a good trade? I traded C.D. Lamb and Robert Woods for Michael Thomas. Did I make the right deal?
You gave up a lot, and I don't mind. If you made it after Monday night, I understand why you did it, because all the Cowboys' values are kind of sliding now because Dak's not there.
No, I did. I actually did it before Sunday.
Okay. I think when you made the trade, you probably gave up too much. If Michael Thomas comes back and he's Michael Thomas and Drew Brees finds him as much as he used to, you'll be happy with the deal.
Yeah, especially because I got Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp, and DJ Moore to go with him. So.
Right. So here's what you did. Yeah. You consolidated your lineup, right?
Yes.
You took away,
yes.
You're taking away lineup decisions for the rest of the season. And that's one of the smartest things that fantasy managers can do. Once they realize they've got a winning record, and you look at your team and you go, oh, man, I'm not 1-5 like Dustin. I've got a chance to make the playoffs in my league. I got to make sure that my lineup is ready to go. You want to take away any lineup decisions that you make, and that way you've got good players, you just start them each week, and let the chips fall where they may.
Dave, what's happening at CBSSports.com with you guys?
We've got a live Twitch stream at 8 p.m. Eastern tonight, twitch.com/FFToday. It'll be all over Twitter if people want to look for it. And we'll give you waiver wire advice. We'll tell you what to do with guys like Tim Patrick, Christian Kirk. We mentioned A.J. Green. What about Preston Williams? Is he a guy worth stashing?
Yeah.
There are two tight ends that are worth stashing that will get talked about.
Irv Smith.
That's one of them. I'm not supposed to give it away now. Well, come on. I got to make people tune into the Twitch. But Irv Smith looks great.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find ways to get him on my rosters everywhere. And Tua's a fun quarterback to talk about, but he's not the best quarterback to pick up off the waiver wire. In fact, he's not even second best. So 8 p.m. Eastern, twitch.com/FFToday. You can watch our waiver wire advice show.
Great stuff as always, Dave. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, gentlemen. Good luck in your leagues.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.